Jerry, can you get the door in the back? I think we'll go ahead and get started.
Everybody, when you find questions you like, just pull them out, and so that way you have one.
No, I like that one.
Ask. Yeah,
I
like
it. You should ask.
I got a bunch.
You always come with this. Don't touch my questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hand me some.
These are really good.
Hand me some like jump.
I need an adult.
I can milk a question.
You
for
always
like
come
hour.
With like a huge.
I just I did
stuff
there.
That you
want to
give.
Oh, I like that one too.
There's two that are speaking.
Yeah. Here. Oh.
What?
So this is two that are.
Mike, I want to write you a note, but I can't.
You can say it.
I was going to quote some Han Solo and say, and then
there's one in Twitter.
Huh? You can sit here and tweet.
So
yeah,
my airplane?
Mine is
oh,
off.
Sweet.
Mine is
you
off.
Did you just
bury?
I know I'm going to hit record, so.
Alright.
Alright. Are we doing this right here?
It's on. It's on.
It's a tone show exclusive.
Dude, it's.
Thaddeus. Alright.
Seriously? You're just. Good that Randy's being with us.
Oh. You like that? I could do this all night.
I'd like to ask if there's anyone under the age of 18 in the room.
I mean, generic.
I have 12. Okay.
So
is this
sorry.
The episode where we get to tell you what we really think of you all?
Sure.
Well, no, that's what Thad's hate mail at tableforone.com is.
And these are really good questions.
All right, so welcome to the DM's Roundtable Podcast. We're here because we are awesome.
Yeah.
And I say we because, you know, the whole thing is that you guys are all guests on the podcast now, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yay.
So you're officially guests.
Recorded for posterity.
Yeah. It's funny because some people who we swore would never come back on the show have snuck in, so they've kind of broken the rules on us.
Hey, can you guys keep it down over there? What?
Geez,
we're having one conversation here, please?
You guys aren't interesting.
Jesus.
Wow, 2 minutes in.
Two minutes in.
And we're already heckled.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Man. Rude. All right. We got more questions.
Got a question coming up. Excellent.
All right. So we never do a format, and this is like the most formatted we've ever done. So we've got some questions, but first we've got some announcements. Of course, first of all, as we said before, we've got Obsidian Portal, that's
our sponsors today. Yeah, give a
hand. Official sponsors. We don't have any Ennies, but we have a 3-time Emmy award-winning sponsor. So by proxy.
That's right. Supported
congratulations,
by the best.
Congratulations on your recent victory. Do you guys, Tracy, do you want to talk about 4Geeks 4E then?
What do we want to introduce
ourselves?
Do we want to introduce ourselves?
Who the fuck doesn't know who we are?
Nobody knows what the hell we look like.
Yeah.
I know what I mean.
Well, we know they know who you are because you have a big mouth, but we can start with...
Okay,
so...
So
it's going to be like that. Okay.
To the loud
like
guys
this.
Left, we have...
So I'm Mike Shea. I run SlyFlayers.com.
Stand up and take a bow, man.
No, just sit here.
Also, author.
What's that?
Author.
Yeah. I've written some stuff, yes.
And we're doing what at the end of the podcast today?
We're giving away a copy of my book.
Woo!
For free.
I love that book because my name is in there.
Yeah.
I finally bought a real hard copy of it instead of just stolen PDFs. So, no, I'm just kidding.
Well, if you go on the website, there are links to where you can get his book for free, mostly torrents.
And that's when I shot him, Your
Honor. I'm Thaddeus.
Woo!
All right. I'm not an author.
At least it's all on the table.
I like to hear myself talk.
How about This Is My Game?
It is.
Yeah.
I run the website, This Is My Game. I have a lot of authors. Randall Walker is one of them. And I like cats. Unicorns are pretty cool, too. And
long walks on the beach.
Yep. Getting caught in the rain is awesome.
Drunken
cool.
Podcaster.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm Randall Walker. I'm known as Dead Orcs on Twitter. I have my own blog, Initiative or What. If you want to stalk me, I've got my business cards up here. It's got all the stuff that I'm involved in. Been doing the podcasting for about a year now, so.
And I'm Tracy Hurley. I'm also Sarah Dark Magic on Twitter. And
woo! I'm a huge,
is that
huge
any
fan.
Nominated Sarah Dark Magic?
Yes,
any nominated?
Yeah.
Oh,
if we clap again,
second time.
She's gonna turn deep red.
The this is Fred Hurley over here. This is her husband, and I'm so glad he's here right now. He's helping me do all the things I love to do.
Yep.
We're announcing spouses.
Yeah, by the way, your payment is supposed to be transferred on
my wife, Michelle, back in the corner.
My bromance, Mike Robles.
Yeah.
I'm not actually officially part of the podcast. I'm just hanging out.
Yeah.
I didn't need an intro.
Spy.
Whatever.
See, there's
the Watsy spy.
Yeah. They make sure we don't say anything bad.
Yeah, they're such an anti-40 podcast.
I know.
It's going to radically change our question here about what we think of 4th edition. It gets awesome.
Oh, crap, yeah. Everything's
money.
Everything's okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, if you've listened to the podcast, what we basically do is it's pretty free form, and we talk about different games, not just Dungeons & Dragons, but any of the role-playing games that we're playing, and sometimes we'll take questions off of Twitter. Sometimes we'll just, you know, what's been going on this week. Sometimes we talk about free stuff from other guys.
Yeah, dude, that still weirds me out a little bit.
Yeah, well, I know. But,
anybody want to
get? But we like answering questions, and you guys have some good ones up here today.
Yeah.
Should we start talking about some of them?
No,
no,
we
how about we finish the introductions for one?
Oh
no, Tracy, we already did.
Yeah, no, 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 let's do Tracy. Sarah Dark Magic, everybody. Sarah Dark Magic.
Is there the New Hampshire Dark Magics?
Yes.
New Hampshire.
Any nominated, Sarah Dark Magic?
Any nominated.
Wait a minute. The published and DDI, Sarah Dark
Magic? Yeah. I think she's. Well, I won't talk about some of the other stuff. We do have an announcement that we should get out of the way first.
Yeah.
And so we are missing one, DM Samuel. He's not here today.
Yeah.
Let's clap for him. Yeah. DM Samuel. Okay, no, he's not here, so he doesn't get as much.
It means I got to sit at the table.
Woo!
We love you, Sam.
So some of you also know that. Most of us in this podcast are in another podcast, and it's a little confusing for some. It's called the 4 Geeks 4E podcast. It's a little more structured and a little shorter time frame, which makes a lot of people like to listen to it a little more because we don't ramble as much. But we haven't recorded an episode in quite some time, and so a lot of people think that the 4 Geeks 4E podcast has pod faded, but that's not actually true. There was just some, I don't know, artistic differences, is that the best way to say it? Artistic differences between some of the crew on how the show should be handled. Some people wanted me to stop talking, others didn't, so...
And by others, you mean you.
Right. The podcast is changing format to the DM's Roundtable and 4 Geeks 4E are basically going to merge into one site and still remain two podcasts, though. So the main site is, you're going to be able to find us at 4geeks4e.com, and there will be a separate page for the DM's Roundtable. Randall Walker is going to be taking over for Aaron, a.k.a. Wolf Samurai, on 4geeks4e. So he will be basically straight through on both podcasts now. So there'll be no difference in the cast aside from DM's Roundtable, is where we're going to have just tons of guests, have a great time talking about whatever, answer a bunch of questions, fart around for like 3 hours on the mic. I mean, I know everybody cuts out at like 45 minutes anyway, so we do the really raunchy stuff at the end. And then 4 Geeks 4E will continue to be on the main page of that site with the, you know, 20 minutes, one topic, very concise, you know, music, intros. It won't just, you know, we won't just start talking out of the blue. So, you know, if one floats your boat, you know, you'll have that on that site. And if the other floats your boat, it'll be on that site. And if they both float your boat, awesome. And if none of them do, you know, why are you here? So yeah, let's just do questions then.
Let's do
it. Yeah. We'll start with Tracy. Tracy Hurley, Sarah Dark Magic. Woo!
So the first question comes from Enrique, aka Newbie DM, and he wants to know why Tracy doesn't talk more. So
Woo!
I think we know why, because Claudius has a big mouth and won't shut up. But I'm just a person, and sometimes I get shy, particularly when we're talking about stuff, and I'm relatively new to gaming, so I don't always feel like I have the information to give out. So I usually talk more when we're just, if it's something that I know about, or we're just BSing about stuff and having fun with it. So that's it.
Yeah. It's all my fault.
It is.
And I don't know why she doesn't talk more.
Do you have no questions? Where are your questions?
No, I have questions.
No, but we're all answering
the same questions,
right?
I thought, so, you know. I was answering her questions.
Okay, so we're going to ask questions, and Tracy's going to answer them all now, I guess. That's the new format.
All right.
What's your answer to the question?
Well, why Tracy doesn't talk because of you.
Oh, come on, dude. When you're on the show...
Yeah,
it's
probably
like,
me, too.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
I blame you for that.
All right, well, I got a good question here from Phil in the audience. He says, I don't understand the distinction between combat and roleplay in 4E. Doesn't the stage of combat provide an excellent opportunity to develop character through action and choice? Who wants to take it first?
Well, you asked.
Oh,
you gotta
I
answer.
Can do that, okay.
No. Jeff Greiner. You're not taking this one.
There isn't a distinction, really. You can roleplay in any event. It doesn't matter if you're working through a skill challenge or if you're working through combat. Anytime the player says, I stand up and swing it and hit it with my sword, it's a kind of roleplay. It may not be sophisticated, but it's still a kind of roleplay. So while they'll get bogged down in what's mechanics and what's not, 4E, sure, it has a lot of mechanics, but that doesn't mean that you can't roleplay those situations. And it doesn't mean you can't roleplay between the combats either. So you don't have to make a distinction.
I agree. But I think to go one step further, there are things you can do to kind of break down that wall that people have kind of created of, once we start combat, conversation between the characters and the characters and the NPCs kind of stops. First of all, DMs kind of have to lead the charge on that kind of stuff. So, you have to roleplay what the monsters are doing. I mean, the monsters have to be these living creatures who, are yelling and taking actions and, or getting scared or, what they're doing matters. So the DM needs to lead that charge. But the DM also needs to, the DM has a lot on his plate. I realize that, tracking initiative, tracking five or six monsters, what the players are doing, counters, that kind of stuff. And so I take, I would say take a tip from slyflourish.com/book.
It's going to get embarrassing.
Yeah. Start, you and Tracy. Start handing out some responsibility in the game. Have one guy track initiative. Have, pass out some monsters. Let your players take care of some monsters. And that leaves you as the DM a little more free to add some of that flair to the combat. And once you start adding roleplay to your monsters, it's a lot easier to ask for roleplay from your players. But when you're not doing it, but you're asking them to do it, then it becomes kind of a one-way road, and that it's not really it's not great for facilitating the roleplay that you're looking for. So.
I don't really have much to add. I mean, I think that sometimes just really small things that you can do, like write down three lines that the creature is going to say at different points in combat, is just one way to get people to realize that they're actually fighting, a thinking creature in some cases, not always. I don't know what the thoughts of a gelatinous cube are. Devour. Even just small things like that, or just getting somebody to say, my group is starting to hate it, but describe the killing blow. It's just real quick ways to kind of say, yeah, well, I rolled 36, so it's dead. Well, okay, but what'd you do? Did you cut it with a sword?
Man, my DM makes me do that, too.
Yeah, and my group gets pissed, and they come up with, like, lamer and lamer ways to kill me. So it's just frustrating me. But just subtle things like that can bring combat back into a roleplay perspective. And some groups don't really care. And if your whole group doesn't really care, then that's fine. Play however the group plays.
So I think, Thaddeus, you said something about making sure that the monsters and the enemies have character too.
Yeah.
And that helps a lot. The other thing for me, what I want to try to experiment with is if we've been pushing towards not every combat has to be completely balanced in this big affair, if you're just going to have somebody sneaking through a castle and, they run into a couple minion guards, you don't have to, quote unquote, drop out of role play to go into combat mode to do that. You can just role play your way through that and not necessarily worry about rolling initiative and stuff like that, which stops the flow and sometimes really gets people out of the role-playing mode. Because, there's so many tactics and stuff involved in a lot of the 4E powers that they want to win. They want to get that combination together, and that can really sometimes, I think, hurt role-playing, unless your group is used to doing it.
Yeah, a corridor full of minions is great for role-play if someone's trying to sneak through a room, because there's nothing like sneaking up and just stabbing a bunch of guys in the back.
And then if you have your own monsters.
Also while you're playing games, too.
Cower in the corner. You know, if your own monster, if you have one goblin left, you know, the guy's probably not going to be looking around saying, hey, I must attack you, you know. He's like,
yeah.
Please just don't kill me.
There's probably a puddle under his feet, too.
Those goblins, they're brave. They're brave. So that, I'm going to mix these up. So.
Random question? Drop my bin?
No. Order by how often, how much
I'm not. I'm just going straight to the Tracy question. So, Andrew wants to know, why didn't anyone tell me that Tracy is so hot? And that's mostly because Tracy's married.
Somebody in this room is going to get an ass kick.
Yeah, and I've spent some time with Tracy's husband, and the words... So I punched him in the face came up quite a lot. Or
it came up twice and in the same context.
Still, you don't mess with a guy.
It was metaphorical.
When you
and
meet,
it was you.
Yeah. I'm so glad he's here. Security.
See, he talks plenty just for me, so
yeah.
I don't have to worry about it.
No,
yeah, you guys think this podcast is the only place she doesn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. we don't, well, like, honestly, we've not hung out. Like, this whole thing came together online, and so this is the first time I've ever got to meet these yahoos. And
Yahoo?
Yeah.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah. I'm old.
They're called Googles now, though.
So, yeah. So I didn't know she was hot until I came to Gen Con, so I don't know what to say. You know. But, you know, Sarah Dark Magic, you know. Woo! You want to answer that one at all?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Tracy?
Nah, pass.
You
want
to? I don't want an ass kicking anymore than anybody else.
I'm just waiting.
You can find pictures.
Oh, yeah.
No. Hey, you are going to get punched in the face.
Yeah. And you're sitting. Right. And he's sitting next to him. That's what
yeah.
I love. Is they're sitting together like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So this is a good question from John. How do you balance wanting to limit a game for a certain feel and setting versus players who don't want their options limited? I grabbed this one up because that's something I do in my home game and have started doing since finishing my last campaign. First of all, I think that limiting settings based on a certain feel and setting is absolutely the way to go. I think that depending on what level you are willing to take your campaign, saying, hey, you guys can do whatever you want. You know, you can have any class, any race. There's, I forget what it is, 60 classes and some ungodly number of races and, you know, 10,000 feats. I think very strongly when you're going to build a campaign setting, saying I want these sources and those are the sources that that we're going to run with is a fine way to go. And as far as players who don't want their options limited, I mean that's something I'm struggling with constantly. They're like, well, I want to play a Shardarkai sword mage, and you're like, yeah, well, sword mages are from Forgotten Realms, and Shardarkai are not going to be in this campaign. So. I mean, the one way is to, you know, you say, okay, well, we're not always... I think one good way to deal with this is to run a limited level or limited campaign of, okay, we're going to run 8 sessions or 12 sessions that are going to have this set. Like, I just finished the Dark Sun setting that was 16 sessions, and then I'm going to start a 12-session Shadowfell campaign, and both were limited by... they were limited by the sources that they ran, and that way you're changing the sources so people still have a chance to try new characters and new things. But as far as the people that are like, I want to be able to use everything, usually they're power gaming. And you gotta, you know, you have to ask if that's the kind of character you want to be running around in your campaign world. And then tell them, you know, there are other places to play. I mean, they don't have to play in your game all the time. There are other games that they can try on a weekend, or they might, you know, okay, at another time, another venue, they can run it, and they can run whatever they, you know, they can let people run whatever they want. So that's what I would do.
Tracy?
Yeah, I think it's fine to limit it. Sometimes it's hard to make a story up that. With all of the classes and all the backgrounds and races and whatnot that's in D&D, to make a coherent story up for a group can be sort of hard. I know in our game, everyone did anything but normal. And they were all, like, short little creatures, and then there was a tiefling, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a tiefling, a gnome, a dwarf, and a halfling.
Nice.
Wow. We were waiting
so the
to all walk into
the
a
tiefling
bar.
Ate them.
Yeah, like
the tiefling
no
ate them all, right?
Yeah, right. The tiefling pretty much used us all as ritual sacrifices.
And so, as my first game, that was a little difficult to try to get like a story in for a tiefling, any gnome, any.
Right, and then out of nowhere, a new guy comes in and plays a sword mage shatter guy, and we're just kind of like
raised by Tengu.
Yeah.
Sure,
that's
totally
like really
sense.
Popular these days.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely in favor of limiting it. I'd also second the limiting it for a number of sessions, so that way And then hopefully the next game, if there was something that they really wanted to do that you didn't allow in, try and let it in the next game and compromise that way.
I'm never letting sword mages back again.
Well, that's okay, because
same with sword mages.
They've got the
Blade Singer now. Which,
so.
Yeah, hopefully will be a better.
Yeah.
For me, I limit based on what mechanics I don't want to deal with. I don't care for psionics because they're a pain in the neck as far as I'm concerned. And so I tell my players, no psionics. You're not going to do it. I have a long established group.
Call?
That's my girlfriend. Hold on. Hey, baby, what's up?
It's just like the show.
It is just like the show.
He's going to order some Chinese food in a minute.
This level of authenticity is you'll get nowhere else in Gen Con, ladies and gentlemen.
There's no fun. Yes.
I'll tell everybody you say
hi. Body breaks.
Hello. Everybody say hi to his girlfriend.
Okay.
Hi. Come back to bed, Dad.
All right, I love
it. Yeah, it's actually, that's the point of the panel. There's a wild card slot, and someone's going to get to replace Thaddeus before the end of the day. Vote.
I also have no psionics in my campaigns because they're complicated, except for the monk cube, because even though it's labeled psionic, it's
right.
Not, so do you also go with that as well?
No PowerPoints, right?
Yeah, it's mainly,
yeah, it's, no PowerPoints,
it's so. Mainly the creatures with, and, I mean, the character classes with PowerPoints,
yeah.
And those kind of, and those kinds of things.
You can limit
so.
It however you want.
So,
yeah, and I also limit,
there,
yeah.
So,
and before we let Thaddeus talk, I'd like to do a quick poll.
Awesome, lovely.
How many people here would limit in their own campaigns?
Yeah, see, this is something that, you know.
Yeah, here's the next question. How many people limit out psionics?
Yeah, it depends on the campaign setting, sure.
All right, I just want to know.
So anyway, and I
that's
limit for other reasons.
Yep.
Yeah, right. you listeners.
Listen, okay, listeners,
it was a lot.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes.
A lot of people.
And imagine whatever you want.
A
unicorn and a waterfall.
How do we do applauses? You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Okay.
But
just trying to help keep things up.
But yeah, I agree with the others is that you should also limit based on your own campaign setting. If a class doesn't fit, it shouldn't be there. So, you know, if it especially doesn't mesh, if you don't have any kind of framework for it to be in, then, you know, don't put it in. There are so many classes. If someone is really so locked on something, at the very end you have to have the person in there or there
sure,
or something falls apart, then, you know, maybe work with the player to develop a framework in your campaign setting so that they can play the class. That'd be about the only out I could give. What about you, Thaddeus?
Still see. Shit, what were we talking about?
Limiting.
So with limiting, what you got to realize is that it's all about psychology with players. Like, you have to manipulate to get what you want. Like, that's what a DM does, right? And girlfriends. And so... Oh, that didn't go over very well.
Just a scooch.
Yeah. Okay, so the idea is that you say yes more often than you say no. And with limiting, it's a lot easier when you're trying to tell players that they can't have something. It's a lot easier to tell them what they can. Give them a list of what they can choose from. And then instead of waiting for them to choose something and then telling them that they can't have it, or straight up just saying, here's what you can't have. You can't have this, you can't have this, you can't have this, and you can't have this. Because as soon as you start telling people that they can't have something, that's almost when they start wanting it. And so you just give them a list. You say, listen, look, here's all the stuff you get to choose from. And so hopefully what that will do is kind of get them going and looking at those things for what they should be playing. And then and you'll get that rare case where somebody comes up and is just like, I really want to play this class. And that's when you have to, you know, do the pull them aside and let them know and, you know, do the session limiting. So say like we're gonna do 8 sessions, and then next time you can play this. And
Fred wants to jump all over your stuff.
Well, because Fred's jumped over everything I've said
so far.
No,
a legit question for once.
Okay.
Along the lines of giving a list, you know, sort of telling people, giving them what they can do rather than waiting for them to get their heart set on something.
That's what I've
right.
done.
Yeah.
One of the ideas I had. I've never actually DM'd, and I want to do a short term.
No, this is the DM's roundtable. If you're not a DM,
Go ahead and remove me.
Yeah.
I want to do a short-term campaign, do like a 3 or 4 session campaign, just to sort of try DMing without a long-term commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea I had was doing like, okay, everything has to be from PHP 1 or PHP 2. You know, like I don't want to have to call and
no essentials.
Make a list of things I understand and don't, you know, and pick and choose the ones I'm really comfortable with. But I find it an easy thing to just be like, look, these are the 2 books.
Yeah.
There's a ton of crap in those books. Go wild.
It's all the broken stuff, too.
Yeah.
The opposite way, no essentials only.
Yeah,
right. And so if
yeah,
you don't,
that's the other thing. I was
if you don't want your players to enjoy their game, essentials only. No, I'm kidding. I love essentials. It's cool.
Yeah,
it's
if
cool.
You want them to think they're not going to
enjoy it.
Hate mail goes to
crap. Watsy's going to cut me off now.
I love essentials.
But yeah,
yeah. You
essentials
really,
is awesome.
You really do need to give the hate mail address.
Like, yeah. Hate mail is Thad's hate mail at tableforone.com. Yep.
There you go.
Aaron knows that.
Just give them the hate mail.
Yep. Yeah. So I think we've covered
that
one
to death.
Who's next?
Tracy. Okay.
Tracy.
So this question is, how do you handle excessive, from Chris? Or,
okay. Oh, okay.
How do you handle excessive out-of-turn talk or tactics discussion among your players?
I haven't figured that one.
Physical
abuse. Can I chime in with a
louder than them?
With a very similar question?
Okay.
From Micah at Obsidian Portal.
Yay. All right. Woo!
It says, how can we get started faster with less chit-tap, YouTube videos, and TV discussion, etc.? Sometimes we BS for an hour or more. You know, so
yeah.
It's very, very similar question.
I think it's a pretty common thing, because it all depends on what you're trying to get out of the experience. I mean, some people want to go there, and it's more about being with your friends and maybe playing a game rather than having the game happen. These questions obviously make it sound that the people who wrote them are more interested in getting into the game rather than just having the social element. So I think sometimes, I know it's hard, but having a discussion amongst yourselves about what it is your expectations are and what you want is a good way to start. You can always do the DM trick of having monsters starting appearing if they don't move, if they're at the door for 20 minutes trying to figure out, oh, can I hear it? You know, hey, you can do that real quick.
And make them tough. Do like beholders. Don't do little like weak.
Well, you can work your way up. You know.
Yeah.
But that's actually one of the guys in our group told me, like, you can always just make the cart explode in the middle of town if people are just sitting around and not figuring out, not doing what they should be doing.
Yeah. I think Tracy's right. One of the things that I like to do is, in my 9-to-5 job, I work at a corporate office, and so I give presentations, you know, I'm in meetings all the time. And so I run my game like I'm running a meeting at the office. As people are coming in, it's fine. BS all you want and talk. But once everyone is there, we sit down and we start playing, or I get crabby. That's the way it's going to be. And like I said, it's like a meeting. We have an objective, and the objective is to enjoy this game. And we're all there for a reason. We're all there because we want to play this game. And I just kind of remind them of that if it becomes an issue. Now, the folks I've been playing with for 10 years. So we all know each other, and so... you know, but I think particularly with new people, if you've got new people coming in, you got to break them into those habits really quickly so that, you know, everyone's on the same page.
So do you guys have problems with that at your table?
I've actually had to separate some of my players because they sit next to each other. They go to 11 within 2 seconds. And if I have them a couple seats apart, they don't tend to feed off each other. And that seems to solve some of the chatter at my tables. Certain my players will interact, and it's just a barrel going downhill. At that point.
So, what was your name?
Chris.
So, Chris, and just this is so because we're recording and we don't know if it'll travel that far, but so Chris suggested that separating players who are problematic is a good way to do that.
So. I use a 2-minute timer.
Minute timer?
Yeah.
It starts going on. I break out the timer. 2-minute timer. So that way.
So you get you're like okay you're talking you have 2 minutes. To
yeah,
talk.
You just do 2 minutes, period. You have 2 minutes to decide what you're going to do and whatever. You know.
I use a timer, too, and as a backup, a claw hammer.
Wow. Hardcore.
Sounds effective, but...
Hard on the table.
Do you have...
Online game, but when they're in the room with you, hammer, yeah. I'm getting a claw hammer. Okay, we're gaming.
All right. Well, you had one?
Yeah, I set up my game at home recently, and I set it up like going to the theater. I called it the theater experience. We're going to the theater. You're going to walk in. You're going to be in the lobby for half an hour talking whatever you want to talk. You're going to eat a little bit. You're going to shoot the shit, you know, whatever. We're going to go into the main room. We're going to play. We're going to have an intermission where we're going to talk again for a little while because you need a break. You're sitting at a table 4 hours. You know, people are going to get tired too. Talk 10, 15 minutes to whatever you want to do, and then you get back to gaming, and then you're in the lobby again after the game.
It's a great idea.
I like that.
Huh?
Yes.
That's the next slide for his DM tip.
Yeah,
you
got
any tips like that at newbiedm.com. That's where I picked that up.
Sam, we'll need you to edit out the last 15 seconds.
Question all the way in the back.
No.
Oh, wait, sorry, we had one more.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see the hand.
She just straight told you.
If you have players that get struck during the game, not like getting started, but you know, like they start talking about the last movie they saw in the middle of the game, the best thing I've had to get them back on track is a little DM theatrics. A little couple things behind the screen go, we'll meet you 20. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
That works too. That's
mind.
Good.
Okay.
Random rolling behind the screen. That's good.
A little theatrics on your part, and there's like, what did I miss?
Oh, don't mind.
And they're back on track.
So we're gonna do like two more, and then keep going on.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So guy in the back here.
Just in specific to talking about like YouTube and stuff like that, I've got a player that never would stop playing on the internet when it wasn't his turn. If he was out, you know, out for a couple of combat rounds, inevitably there'd be YouTube videos going on in the background. I filtered out his MAC address on the router.
Excellent. I love it. Yeah, see, I no computers
3G.
At the yeah, no
yeah,
computers
no
at the table for me. No digital stuff. You bring paper. I kill trees. So,
I have two thoughts about it.
Well, we're you and I still have to answer. So, and
okay.
I think Randall.
Yeah,
does.
I'm done.
So
yeah.
Tracy, pick. We're gonna do one more comment from the audience, and then we're gonna keep moving on. So
I'll
Tracy,
make it go.
Well, yeah, I mean, so one thing I did want to say is
this
like,
is Micah from Obsidian Portal.
Woo!
And
he's.
I'm just a DM. I can't get
his
players to pay attention. So one thing that I tried because I heard on another podcast was that you can make like
we don't talk about other podcasts.
Well,
and get to
made it up, then I'll take credit for it.
Okay.
No, it was to try like an actual like sort of physical theatrical break between like the bullshitting and the like the actual start of the game, and I tried this and it was a disaster. So like because they said you know get people in the mood of the game, and so I was playing Dark Heresy now. And I had everybody go hands in and say, for the Emperor. And, like, it was supposed to, like, get people, you know, in the mindset and then, you know, provide this break between, like, the, you know, the pregame and the actual game. But, like, all it did was get people, like, this is so stupid. Like, and, like, that would go on for, like, 10 minutes. And so it would not provide the break. So try that if you want. It did not work at
so,
all.
So find a group and get rid of my phone.
Yeah. So is that so kind of like a theater sport warm-up kind of a thing? Like get everybody kind of into it.
I guess. I mean, that was the idea. It was like, you know, you now are acolytes in the, you know, in the service of the emperor. Like, let's think about it, you know, that way. And it just, you know, at least and it like I think that it takes all of the players because like that was the thing. It's like some of them were like okay with this, and then there was one player that was like, this is so dumb, and like that just, I mean, you want to talk about ruining the mood? You got a bunch of nerds doing something that's really kind of nerdy, and then like one person is like, this is dumb, and it's like, oh no.
There's the door.
Yeah, exactly. So it was embarrassing enough, and then to have one person be like, this is really dumb. So
but
it might work for you, otherwise it could be a complete disaster.
My only answer is that you just got to ask yourself, you know, and your party, what's important? I mean, if part of enjoying the time together is that chit-chatting camaraderie, and you're cool with it, I mean, if it's one person has a problem with it, then honestly, you may just have to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, my group and I do it all the time because nerd talk is just fun, and we don't get to get together a lot, and so that's our 1 4-hour session where we get to BS about
yeah,
movies.
It's
almost
like a poker game.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
And if you're not, if everybody in the group's not cool with that, and there's one guy that is, then you got to deal with it. But if everybody else is, and you're like the one guy who's just like, I just want to, you know, kill dragons, then you got to lighten up, man. So, Mike.
So I mean, there's a couple things. I know that the D&D podcast, the official D&D podcast, Chris Perkins talked about how he has a single statement that he uses at the beginning of every one of his sessions, where he says, and you know, the equivalent of last time on whatever. And I actually started doing it for a campaign where I said last time on Children of Blood, like it's a TV series.
That's the
series.
Name of your
my campaign was called The Children of Blood. Yeah.
Oh wow, that's
cool.
I'm scared
that's
already.
Like... Yeah, that's crippling.
Well, it was a Dark Sun. It was a Dark Sun.
It sounds like
yeah.
a bad
oh, yeah, yeah.
emo rocker band or something.
Yeah, it was cool. So and so you know that was kind of the statement that you say you know right at the time, and they talk over it, and you know I've seen them just completely glaze over, but you just keep going and pretend like they're silent, and eventually they kind of kick in, and eventually it starts to roll in. My table is a complete. It turns into bullshit very quickly, kind of table. And I, you know, the other thing is, it's I play in evenings, you know, after a work day, so they come in, they want to relax, they want to be able to bullshit about YouTube, and that's part of why they come. So I kind of allow that. But then the other trick, which somebody already mentioned, is instead of me kind of rolling behind the table, I'll have them start rolling skill checks. So you know, as soon as I see them off, I'm like, hey, can you roll a knowledge check for me? And they're like, uh-oh, or perception.
you know. What did I just? I just stepped in something. So that's kind of a way to kind of drag them back. Yeah, what's your fortitude? That'll work. You know, try to bring them back that way. But I've played in a game where any extra talk was, you know, like immediate damage to your character. And that's kind of the opposite of fun too, where you couldn't say anything out of character and the game ran really smoothly. But there wasn't any other kind of fun happening at the table other than, you know, straight rolling. So it's really depends on the table. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I asked the question.
But
one thing I know that some of my friends in college, they would do the loser symbol if you're talking out of character.
Yeah, you have to call yourself a loser.
Now, you may not like that. It's not something I would want to do, but it is something I've seen other people do.
Okay. Well, you're asking a question.
Oh. All right. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. Nye? Am I pronouncing that right? Okay. How do you work with DMing for a group who doesn't like the kind of games you want to run, and you don't like the kind of games they want to play? Well, my short answer is find some other folks to play with. That's not immediately helpful, because it's sometimes difficult to find people to play games. So you want to try to network. Places like Gen Con and other conventions are good places to do that. Your friendly local gaming store, I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. Well, depending upon the area of the country that you live in, if you know, you might want to travel to maybe a town or a city that's nearby that's not in the one you're in, and maybe try a different group area there. Obviously, the internet's a great place. I know that several sites have Kinect Gamer type. Ian World does, I think.
RPGGameFinder.com.
There's another one. Yes.
Well,
so
isn't there one that Obsidian Portals paired up with?
Is
Pen and Paper Games?
Okay,
that's a really good one.
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah, those are all good ways to try to find some folks that are actually wanting to play the same games you're wanting to play. So.
That's a really tough one because playing with other people is about compromise. So I mean, it's you got to communicate with the people you're playing with. You really got to do the thing where it's just like, yes, this is what I want and this is what you guys want. Can we build something together that will kind of incorporate everything that we like? And if you can't, I mean, unfortunately, if you're not playing the game you want to play, if you're not enjoying it, it's painful to stick around and keep doing it. And I know it sucks to go out and have to find a new group because that can be a long and arduous process, but you know, sometimes that's the way it has to go. You know, if you're not getting what you want out of the game, you got to go find it someplace else. And you know, it's compromise is the best option, though. I say, you know, if everybody can have fun, then you know, play the game you want to play. You want to do a question?
I was going to bring up the last point, but apparently we're over at this point too. I think it's important to reemphasize the fact that any social game, you are entering a social contract with this group of people. So like you're saying, yeah, you got to talk.
Yeah.
You have to find a common ground and say, okay, what do you want out of this game? You know, what are we actually trying to accomplish here? Is it to get together and have fun? Is it to play a certain game? Is it, you know? And through that discussion, any rational person should be doing it. A lot of times, like, solutions to these kind of problems become me versus them, or them versus us, and it becomes adversarial things. Like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing here. This is a 4 to 8 or whatever person group collectively that's supposed to be making this work. So if that means that neither side can agree on, if that ultimately means that neither side can agree on what they want to have accomplished, then it's not going to function. You've broken that contract by default,
mm-hmm.
because you can no longer agree on where you were coming to at the table.
Up front.
I think
the young man with the beautiful mohawk.
I think it's important to do all that right from the get go, because if you just jump into a campaign and then halfway through somebody's like, "Wait, what are we doing here?" I think it's better just establish it that first session. Don't even play the first session. Talk about what the campaign's going
to
be like.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get the ship going in a direction from the get go than turning the whole thing around in the middle of it. That's definitely true. Do you have an answer for this one?
No, I mean, other than try to find people that like the kind of game you want to run. Don't try to run the game they want if you're not into it.
Interview.
What?
Your interview thing.
What interview thing?
Yeah, a little article thing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's, yeah, so well, actually, I got a problem player question here.
Okay, well, that, that covers that very specifically. But,
yeah, I mean, the main thing, and I guess we kind of have the sessions where we kind of talk about what we're going to do, but it's usually pretty easy for us. Most people, as long as it's 4E, they're happy, and I'll say, how do you guys feel about doing a run in the Shadowfell? And they're like, yeah. So then we run in the Shadowfell.
You got a dream. You have like a dream group, though.
They're pretty good. Yes. Yeah, until they pull out their Shardar Kai, you know, sword mage. And, hey, I ran teleport 40 and I killed you. So.
Tracy, yeah. Did you answer the question yet?
I don't know. Did I?
You no, you didn't. It's your turn to talk. You need to talk more.
Your wisdom.
My wisdom.
Yeah. People get mad if we don't let you talk enough. So
I know. I mean, I think everybody.
Did my
covered
mom?
It.
My oh, okay. mom listened to an episode, and that's,
you never let her talk.
You never.
And
let
I did get talked to.
You got
by
talked
my
to?
Mom for
yeah.
not.
It's funny how you interrupted her to tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's
sorry, mom.
I have no idea why I don't talk that much.
Sorry, sorry, mom.
So I mean, I think it's been all covered though. It is social contract, and you can't bludgeon people to play the way you want to play. It's just not possible, I guess.
Climber guy.
You can. There's always these legal things, and I don't want to do a real life break from jail. I guess I can let Fred talk.
Oh boy. No, I just real quick. One way I always think of it is that, you know, like you were saying about it being a social contract. Like it sounds silly to view it in these terms, but like if you were gonna date someone, or if you were gonna be friends with someone beyond gaming, like be really good friends with someone, like you would never accept a situation where, well, we don't see eye to eye on this entire bill of goods, but at least we have this one little thing in common. Like you would be like, well, this is a ridiculous relationship and I have to move on. And like if you try to view it in terms of, you know, would I actually be in this relationship if it were a dating situation? And if the answer is no, that's insane. Why would I ever stick around with that person? Well, then you probably can't be gaming with them long term. Like it's a happiness thing. If your happiness keeps dipping into the negative, it's just a spiral that you have to pull out of. It's just not going to get better.
All right. So this next question is from Cato. Cato Catonian.
Where's Cato?
Yeah, is he here? Where is he? He's a good friend of the podcast over there.
Special guest listener.
He was our first special guest listener. So he asks a yes or no question, so I'm going to alter it a little bit. He says, as a DM, there's just more on the back. I didn't read it all. As a DM, you always have a stronger interest in the campaign you're running than your players do. How do you temper your own expectations so that the story is both yours and the players? So basically, DM is far more invested in the story than the players tend to be. How do you throttle back, I guess, is what he's saying. So you're not disappointed when they don't care about the 30 pages of backstory that you've written. And really short, it's world building. There's a game that won a bunch of Ennies this year. It's called Dresden Files. Evil Hat Production did a bang-up job with that game. I love it to death, and I've stolen the world building from it. And the idea is that I sit down and I make my players build the world with me. And so they have to create the NPCs, and they have to create the points of interest. And then they're still not 100% bought in. I still get way more excited than they do. But, you know, they get a lot more bought in when they've created the world. So.
What are you doing next? I'm taking notes. I think one thing, and actually you did a podcast with Dave Chalker where you talked about Mika from Obsidian Portal, any winner Obsidian Portal.
Woo!
That's getting old. He did a talk because he actually has like metrics that can talk about, you know, how much players are involved in people's games based on looking at, you know, DMs pour their whole lives into these incredibly detailed campaign settings that are on Obsidian Portal, and they like sign up their players and the players never come and never even look at it, right? They never even go read it. And I've seen that a little bit. I think part of it is to just remember that they're probably not going to be in it as much as you're into it, and that's okay. You know, I always try to keep my stories really simple, like a 30th level campaign where they were going to kill Orcus, and that's, you know,
that's the storyline for 30 levels for 3 years. And that way they could keep track of it. Okay, we're still going. We're still killing Orcus, right? Like, yep, you're still killing Orcus. Okay. Well, moving to the next door. Is he here? No. That's probably good. So
it's like Thundercats. It's always Mumra. There's no...
Right. So a lot of it is trying to keep your story simple. Not too simple. And you can kind of quiz players... Like, okay, what was that guy's name again? I'll go, Orcus? Like, yeah. So you want to, but then different players are going to have different levels of interest in the campaign. And some might be really interested in everything that you ever put out, and they're really thinking about how the character's evolved. And other ones like, look, I don't have a character sheet this week, and I never have a character sheet. Can I have one? Anyway, yeah, here you go. Okay, I want to roll dice. So you have to balance your story and say, like, this group wants to kill Orcus. This group wants to build an intricate, detailed thieving network all throughout Sigil, you know, and try to balance the two. But yeah, the main thing is just to accept that different players are going to come to your table with different expectations, and it's okay if they're not totally into it.
Tracy?
Do you want to go first?
No, it's your podcast.
Okay. Well, the only reason I don't talk much is I often try to let other people talk some more for me.
Too nice.
So I don't do the 30-page background story. I think most of my sessions have, other than monster stats themselves, have been a few sentences on a piece of paper. I really let the players drive the story. And then I try to... And sometimes it's small things like... Fred's character was a rogue, and he really wanted a riding dog. So I made sure that right away he had the ability to have this dog that he could interact with, and that really brought him into the role playing a lot, being able to do acrobatic tricks and stuff with that. And the other thing is I leave a lot of loose...
That's cute, Fred. That's adorable.
I think I have a heart of gold.
Yeah, I leave a lot of loose threads. I just have throwaway things somewhere that I don't really necessarily have a reason why it's in there other than it was a detail I wanted to add. And then later on, sometimes it's frighteningly easy how easily you can connect the dots of these little threads that you've left in the world to bring stuff together.
Was what?
So one of the things they did was they let a spriggan go. They didn't want to kill all the spriggans that they came across. And the guy ran off into the woods. They gave him some gold, and he started a bar. So sessions later, they didn't know he started a bar. They're in a hotel. They're about to leave town, and they hear a knock on the door. And the spriggan comes and is like, "Oh, you got to come and see my bar. I need you to, you know, see what you helped do." And those sorts of things, I think, really do bring, you know, the players in. And it's all about what they want. That happened to work really well for my group. May not work for yours, but I think trying to listen to them and see what they want and give it to them helps a lot. It's not my story, it's ours.
I've been playing with disappointment for over 10 years. So what happens is that, I mean, basically the folks that I game with, they're what I would consider casual gamers. But not so casual that they want to just do one-offs every week. And because then I would have to prepare whole new sets of stuff every week, and I hate that. So, or actually once a month. So, I mean, that's how often we play. And so I know going into it that they're not going to be invested as much as I am. And I'm okay with that. It took me about 6 years to realize it. But once I did, things have gone a lot easier. I still create the things that I do. I put what I can out on Obsidian Portal and allow my players access to it. But and I even, you know, my wife's one of my players who happens to not be here, but she's... I was telling her the other day, I said, you really need to go out to the website to read that, to find out about that. And she goes, yeah, I need to do that. So I encourage my players. They know where the information's at, but I understand if they don't, you know, it's okay. I'm building it from, I'm having fun with the game too, so that's my part of it.
You're up for questions, right?
Cool.
Oh, wait. So I see some hands up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
So
Micah?
No.
Okay. Micah, then James.
So yeah, I mean, this comes up a lot in Obsidian Portal. Like people, we see real bad burnout where somebody will go and they'll make like a giant campaign and spend, you know, hours and days like detailing everything, and then like the first session they get to the table and the players have not read a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yep.
You know, you really kind of warn people off from that, and like for me personally, I've kind of tried to flip it around to where it's sort of in my benefit. Like if there's three doors. I don't need to know what's behind two of them. Like, there doesn't need to be anything behind two of them. Because the player's just going to open one of them. And so,
you know, I've realized, like with NPCs and things like that, they don't, you know, somebody told me once they had 100 NPCs, you know, all with names and details and background stories and stuff like that. I was like, my players can't remember 5. Well, yeah, and so if that's, you know, once you realize that, and if you can, like, sort of swallow that bitter pill, like, it actually makes your life a lot easier. Because it's like, well, now I don't need, and you shouldn't feel bad because somebody else is like, well, I've got 100 NPCs. It's like, well, I don't need that, you know. Like, I've got 5 NPCs that my players can remember 3 of. And at the end of the day, that's enough for them. And so why should I invest all the extra time? You know, and so I can be ready for the game in 10 minutes.
How many G.I. Joes can you name, right? Like, there's thousands of them now, and you know like 4.
Flag.
So. Flag? There's a guy named
Snake
Flag.
Eyes, yeah. Flag.
Is there any brown
shirt there? Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter's 3. Roadblock.
There's a guy named Brown Shirt.
Brown Shirt, and then James. Sorry, James. We're
Cobra Commander.
I've always found that writing them into the story gets their attention. My 4th edition that I have on Sunday, I run about 4 games a week. And I, my 4th edition game, I have each character has their own interloping or interlocking story arc, which hooks with the others. One person's a half elf that doesn't know his father is actually the lord of a region, but he thinks he hates humans. Another person doesn't really know it, but they're royalty. Another person's got a book that's actually an essence fragment of Orcus, and it all tapers in to the final end. When I created the campaign, they were creating their characters and asked what they expected of it. And it's one of the greatest campaigns I've run in my life.
Okay.
And if you write them into it, if you make, don't put Britt Stewart in there, don't put, Wolfgar in there, because they are the legends. Make your characters the legends that they're going to play in the next game.
Yeah.
Put your next game 50 years beyond and you're playing as their characters.
So, James?
So, I've taken pretty huge cues from Leverage. Is that you don't like people are saying, let the players run, let the players feed all that. Because I wrote a game over the weekend for Leverage that's literally on one sheet of paper. Like, I can run a whole 4-hour game on this paper from one sheet because I have exactly 4 tasks that I need to accomplish.
So keep it simple, basically. Right.
Yeah. Basically, find out what you absolutely need them to do. And then let them fill the rest. So it's like,
we'll
I need to make sure that they talk to this guy, that they find this thing, they go and go to this place, and kill this guy.
So
give them incentives to do those 4 things, and the rest, they'll figure out their own way to get there.
So I know there's a lot of hands up. We want to get the book giveaway out of the way, I guess, first. And so we're going to do a quick DM's Roundtable trivia question. First person who can tell me what Randall is always kicking me off of gets a copy of Cypher's
book.
Not you, though. You're a sponsor. Damn it. You're an employee.
Yeah, you're going to have to ask another question.
Yeah, we're
going to
ask another question now. So you're asking this question.
I just ruined everything.
I'm asking this question.
No sponsors, no family.
Yep.
What type of food does Denny's order a lot of?
Oh, jeez.
You got to raise your hand.
Yeah, you got to
raise
your
hand.
All right. maybe we do something different instead.
Yeah.
All of those who asked, if you have not
random,
filled out a little slip,
a
please grab one from the center table here, put your name on it.
James, hold that. Now, I was going to ask questions.
And then we will, draw randomly for the book.
Okay, so we'll
So while folks are doing that, put them up here, and I'll...
could just pull from the group that went through the trouble of putting in questions in the first
place.
Yeah. Well, I know, but we had some late arrivers, and I want them to get a chance to do that.
Randall, you're a paragon of organization and logistics.
He is on the wrong podcast.
They would be lost without you.
Yeah.
17.
And now you're going to be lost with them.
Yeah. So we'll... Right now,
I know.
Let's do
I'm
this.
Doomed.
All right, guys. All right.
I'll
collect
them also.
We're going to take control for one more second. So does anyone have... We'll take like one question right now for Obsidian Portal that is not like tech support based.
If you want.
No, that's okay. Does anyone have one? We don't have our slips right now, so...
What type of features and specializations does your website offer, y'all?
So
it's commercial. Yeah, it's commercial.
Yeah. let me give the
How awesome is your site?
So, yeah. It's just a website. way to manage your game, like with a wiki. Like if you've ever done like collaborative editing on a wiki or anything like that before, or if you thought like, hey, it'd be nice to instead of have this giant notebook with like stuff falling out of it and this other binder that's got a bunch of stuff in it too. Like if you just instead thought, hey, what if I just have a really easy to use website that does all this? It doesn't really do it all for you, but it's just set up to track characters, to track adventures, to track places you visit, all that stuff. It's built around the idea of you and the players collaboratively, building the storyline, and then at the same time just managing like there's scheduling built into it. So you can say our game is on this day, and we'll send out reminders to everybody that people can say, yeah, we'll be there.
I need to do that.
Really just come up. We've got the advantage. These little badge stickers right here. Just put on your badge. Go home and check it out. There's a video on the homepage that will explain a little bit more about what it does.
My wiki's broken, will you fix it
personally? No, none of those questions. You are out of here. You are out of here. Okay, so guys,
we have a mobile phone app. It looks good with a mobile phone. That's it.
And that's the end of
that's
the.
It. That's all we got.
They only paid us enough for a little bit of time.
All right, we have a winner for the book. Tracy's already pulled it.
Tracy pulled it out.
We
were gonna do like drum roll.
We don't have time. They're gonna kick us out.
Are they?
All right.
Yep.
Gene Gordon.
Yeah.
All right.
Can we sign it too?
Yeah, we're all going
to
sign it.
Where are those pens we have? Yeah. So we'll give it to you when this is over. Oh,
incoming.
Yeah, okay. Oh, stop. Everybody stop right now. There was a mechanical pencil that was put with the rest of the pencils. It was like a purple pencil with little... That is my lucky pencil. This is what I DM with, so I need this back. I will hunt you down. I will.
That is a man recognizing an imbalance right there.
There we go. I don't know what to say.
Before we wrap up, I know we didn't get to everyone's question, so I can't speak for the rest of my panelists here, but if you want to take one of my cards here at the table, I'll be happy to email me. My email's on there. Be happy to answer a question if you have it. I'm not the ultimate expert on this stuff, but if I don't know the answer, I can certainly point you in the right direction.
Could we just do a more questions episode where we come back and answer?
We could do that too.
We'll do a special questions episode where we try to answer these questions. And I do want to thank all of you for coming and for all the support for the podcast and everything. It's been really nice and sweet. So thank you again.
Sarah Dark Magic, everybody.
Also, Tracy Hurley. Woo! Who wants to go get dinner?
Anybody hungry?
What are you going to do?
Are you inviting everybody out?
I don't have a computer.
This will be our home show exclusive in a few days.